To the young people who are watching, it is... I love you. To the young people who are watching, it is okay to feel sad and disappointed. But please know it's going to be okay. On the campaign, I would often say, when we fight, we win. But here's the thing, here's the thing. Sometimes the fight takes a while. That doesn't mean we won't win. That doesn't mean we won't win.
Hello and welcome to What the F*** Just Happened Today, your essential guide to the daily shock and awe in national politics. I'm Joe Amditis. Let's get to it. It's Wednesday, November 6th, 2024. Welcome to Day 1387. America elected the first ever convicted felon to serve as the next president of the United States. Donald Trump, the twice impeached, four times indicted, once defeated former president, overcame his 34 felony convictions, 88 criminal charges, accusations of insurrection as part of his attempt to overturn the 2020 election, his civil lawsuit judgments totaling more than $500 million, allegations by his entire first-term cabinet that he's unfit to serve, his openly fascist intentions, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, his failed response to the COVID-19 pandemic, which led to more than 400,000 American deaths from a virus he repeatedly claimed was going to disappear, his repeated overt acts of racism, at least 26 public accusations of rape, kissing, and groping without consent, his promises to prosecute his political opponents, and the threats encapsulated in the Project 2025 agenda to become the nation's 47th president. Donald Trump is the second president in American history and the first since Grover Cleveland in the 19th century to retake the White House after a re-election defeat. And at the age of 78, Trump will be the oldest man ever elected president, breaking a record only held by Joe Biden, whose mental competence Trump repeatedly savaged. During his victory speech, Trump said, "We just witnessed the greatest political comeback in the history of the United States of America." He declared that he was the leader of the greatest political movement of all time and said that he would take office with an unprecedented and powerful mandate, while also promising the strongest economy, the most secure borders, and safest cities. He added, "This is a magnificent victory for the American people. This will truly be the golden age of America." Kamala Harris, meanwhile, conceded on Wednesday afternoon, telling Trump that she would ensure a peaceful transition of power from the Biden administration to his. "While I concede this election," she said, "I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign." Trump ended up with at least 292 electoral votes after winning in Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Wisconsin. Harris has won at least 226 electoral votes. Alaska, Arizona, and Nevada are still counting their votes, and Trump is currently on pace to win the national popular vote as well. He defeated Kamala Harris in part by promising to curb inflation, crack down on undocumented immigration, and to end overseas conflicts. He achieved an Electoral College majority by maintaining his majorities with men and white voters without college degrees, while overperforming with key Democratic groups, including Latinos and young voters. Although Harris won Latinos by about 14 points, it came down to a much narrower gap than Biden's 33-point margin in 2020 and Clinton's 38 points in 2016. Latino men in particular moved significantly to the right since 2016. Clinton won their support by 31 points, Biden won by a 23-point margin in 2020, and Trump won by a 12-point margin in 2024. Harris also lost support among younger voters. In 2020, Biden won 18 to 29-year-olds by 24 points, compared to just 11 points for Harris in 2024. In the 30 to 44-year-old range, Biden won support by 6 points, compared to just 1 point for Harris. Meanwhile, Republicans also gained control of the Senate, and while the House is still up for grabs, Senate Republicans flipped seats in West Virginia, Montana, and Ohio to secure the 51-seat majority, at least. In order to gain control of the House, Democrats will need to flip 4 seats from Republicans while also holding on to all of their own. Republicans entered Election Day holding a 220 to 212 majority. Moving on, Special Counsel Jack Smith is preparing to drop the two federal criminal cases against Trump to comply with a longstanding DOJ policy that a sitting president can't be prosecuted. The department policy, which was put in place in the year 2000, states the indictment or criminal prosecution of a sitting president would unconstitutionally undermine the capacity of the executive branch to perform its constitutionally assigned functions. Smith initially charged Trump with illegally trying to remain in office after the 2020 election, and in a separate case, Smith charged him with illegally retaining classified documents and obstructing federal efforts to retrieve them after he left the White House. Judge Eileen Cannon, who was appointed to the bench by Trump, dismissed the documents case in July on grounds that Attorney General Merrick Garland had no authority to appoint Smith in the first place. Smith has been appealing that decision, and Trump recently said he'd fire Smith within 2 seconds after he returns to the White House. In international news, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu fired his defense minister while the world's attention was focused on the U.S. election. Yoav Gallant was one of the most vocal and prominent critics of Netanyahu's war strategy and was pushing for a ceasefire in exchange for a hostage release deal. His firing removed the main advocate for such a deal. Netanyahu has called for total victory in Israel's war against Gaza and has rejected pressure both domestically and from the United States to accept a ceasefire deal. Kamala Harris was widely expected to continue the Biden administration's policies and support toward Israel, which includes supplying weapons, but periodically slowing their shipment to pressure Israel into providing more humanitarian aid to Palestinians. Trump, however, is widely believed to be less critical of Netanyahu's policies. And finally, North Korean troops that were deployed to Russia have come under Ukrainian fire in the city of Kursk. A U.S. official said that a significant number of North Korean troops were killed in the small engagement. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky called the development a new page of instability in the world. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un had sent about 10,000 soldiers to Russia to bolster forces in the Kursk region, a Russian border area where Ukrainian forces seized territory in a surprise attack over the summer. Russia initially provided the North Korean troops with training of a one-month period and artillery and drones, but that has since been reduced to a week so that they can get engagement on the battlefield. The Pentagon, meanwhile, says it is unable to confirm reports that North Korean troops are gorging on pornography with their new expansive internet access in Russia. That's all for now. You can find the links and sources for all of these stories on the main website. And as always, visit whatthefuckjusthappenedtoday.com for the latest news and headlines. Until next time, I'm Joe Anditas.
The important thing is don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop trying to make the world a better place. You have power. You have power. And don't you ever listen when anyone tells you something is impossible because it has never been done before.